today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we explain why it's not a good idea to touch flight attendants for any reason. And if you're making a summer road trip or just tooling around town, we'll tell you what the experts say are the best and worst days of the week to buy gas.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we point out why it's important to book directly with a hotel, airline, etc., as opposed to using a third-party booking site.
At 11:35, we have an interesting story about Marriott and their franchised hotels. It seems hotels are not happy about the reimbursement amounts for award stays, and that could very well have a dramatic effect on the value of your Marriott reward points.
In our odds and ends piece at 11:50, we tell you how the United Airlines travelers can combine their points for bigger rewards, and with people visiting for the World Cup from around the world, you who aren't used to tipping, how do you explain to them about that 15 to 20% to the bill is an expectation?
Lots and lots of great travel stories you won't hear anywhere else. Whether you're listening live or on the podcast, welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Solo Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, live and direct from the Sports Leisure Vacations Palacious Studios, recently remodeled.
Have you been drinking this morning?
Yeah, no. Yeah. So fact is, we are live, and today I've joined Mark here at his studio because I got a glitch in mine. We didn't plan this, but I live about 3 minutes away from Mark's office. So when my studio goes down and we can't do the normal procedure, I can run over to Mark's quickly, and we can tag team up here and be in one place at one time.
Imagine that. For all those years, we were on another station here in town, and we both drove to the station, which is over by Cal Expo. We both drove to the station and drove back in order to create. It took us as long to get there and get home as it did to create the one-hour radio station. And then COVID forced us to
2020
kind of go remote. And then we discovered that, heck, this was a lot easier than having to go all the way to the station. And because we have this advantage of living close to each other, if something does go wrong, one of us can putt over to the other person's place and, you know, in no time at all. So do you realize that if we've been doing this now pretty close to 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we haven't missed very many. Have we missed? I can't remember missing one, but I'm sure there was one along the way.
You know what? I will go back and look. I think the only times that we missed a show mm-hmm. wasn't that we missed it, but breaking news.
Threw us off the air.
Yeah, threw us off the air, and so our show was replaced with breaking news. So, you know, if it weren't for the technology, one of the nice things about, like, today, Mark and I can actually see each other while we're doing the show in person, mm-hmm. which in a radio environment, as Anthony there at the radio station knows, there's this interaction that's easier to take place when you're in the same place. But thanks to here again to technology, a little FaceTime,
yep,
and you're in the same room with whoever you're.
We can see each other even though we're not. Yeah, even though we're miles apart from each other. So anyway, doing the math. I think this is our 20th year, 19 or 20. You figured this out one time.
I did. We had it. We took a year off, or two.
Okay.
It was the year that you were the president of the National Tour Association.
Okay. So that would have been like 2015.
Yeah. And then it was just too much to do the radio show and your other job and that. So, we took a bye for a couple of years and then hopped back on and then went continuous. And that was after doing 3 years. But all that being said, we're here, we're live.
We got to be somewhere between 900 and 1,000 of these. That was my whole point. That was the reason I started off on that tangent was I did the math of 52 times 20, and, you know, that's over 1,000. So anyways, it's been a long time, a lot of years.
Yeah. And one of the things that we've never really done was we don't do reruns.
No.
You know, a lot of programs, if you're not going to be there, you'll pull an old show out of the can and throw it up. We have rerun a few special interviews, you know, over the years of relatively famous people interviews that were exceptionally informative that thought wouldn't be a bad idea to run them again because, you know, not everybody hears every show every week.
Right, right. Well, and it's been, it's we used to be on Sunday afternoon, and then we made this move to Saturday morning. So it is, somebody asked me one time, isn't it a little disruptive to your weekends? And I said, well, yeah, a little bit, because every Saturday morning is blocked out, and you don't just walk in the door and go on the radio. I mean, it requires a little advanced preparation, so probably I would say 5 to 10 hours a week on my side. And a few hours from all the supporting people who help make this all happen every week. Anyway, I guess we probably should get on with the radio program.
Okay, with that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
The airlines are responding to the nation's 250th birthday, anniversary, whatever you would like to call it. By painting airplanes, American and Southwest had already done it, and United announced this week. I'm looking at a picture of it. I'm wondering if I sent this so it could be posted online.
Well,
I don't remember if I did or not. But anyways, there is a picture. United did a very nice job.
Yeah.
They've got a 787 and a 737 that have been painted in red, white, and blue colors. Of course, United's colors are blue and white anyway, so that wasn't a huge stretch for them. Here is an interesting story. I mentioned this in the headlines. I just really want to tell you there's really a golden rule on airlines now. And that is, it might have been cool in the old days to pat the stewardess, as they were called then, on the rear end or something. But that was another day and another time. And let me tell you something. Doing something like that now, not only get you in a lot of trouble, it could cause your flight to be diverted and you to get arrested, because that's exactly what happened on a Delta Airlines flight. A gentleman was kind of in and out of consciousness, and the drink cart was passing by him, and he thought he had been passed by. So this 32-year-old gentleman decided that the best way to get the flight attendant's attention was to pat her on the butt. Now, other people who saw it, who witnessed it, said it was more than just a pat, that actually her body moved forward from the force of him touching her. But nonetheless, no matter what the agreement is to how hard he hit her, it talk about something that it was incredibly inappropriate. Anyways, he was, when the flight landed, he was in Atlanta. He was arrested for interference with a flight crew member and transported to Atlanta City Detention Center. He had to stay there for several days, waiting for a court date. This guy is probably never going to fly on an airplane again. And all because he thought it was cute. You know, he was like, well, you know, I didn't mean anything. I just was trying to get her attention. Well, you know, the way to get the attention, I think we've talked about this a few weeks ago.
Push the button.
Yeah. Just reach, even if the flight attendant is right there and you're, you know, just push the button. And most flight attendants will recognize the fact that you did that, as opposed to, you know, even touching them on the shoulder or the arm or something like that is just not appropriate. But don't do what the guy going to Atlanta did and think it's cute to slap the flight attendant on the rear end, because that may change your life forever. One little slap.
Maybe it was a friend or a wife. No.
Huh? Yeah, or maybe he had a couple before he got on the plane or something like that, and he wasn't in complete control, and he thought this was all going to be really cute, and not so much. So anyway, word of warning, word to the wise, it's always better to hit the flight attendant button than it is to hit the flight attendant.
Well put.
It will make your life go much easier. Listen, in speaking of Atlanta, and a Delta Airlines flight, a customer got a little bit angry over the fact that there was no announcement. Their flight had been delayed and regated, and he got there and there was no help or anything like that. And so after waiting a while, he went up and picked up the PA system and started asking if there were any Delta employees anywhere in the area who could come and help him. And the other people at his gate, a pilot came up and said, gee, you know, buddy, this is probably not the best way to do this. And he said, well, what do you think would be the best way to do it? And the pilot didn't really have any answers for him. So the guy said, well, thank you for your suggestion, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So after about 20 minutes, apparently, security got somebody from Delta to come down. The guy didn't get in any particular trouble, but he was just, you know, they asked him. Then, of course, it somebody taped it, so it went viral. And then somebody asked him, you know, why would he do this? And he said, because I sat there forever, and there was nobody to tell us what was going on, or... So I just thought that they were all Delta gates, that surely if I got on the PA system that somebody from one of the adjoining gates would.
Well, you know, I have to say that I'm of that kind of person that would cross my mind.
Uh-huh.
I would actually think about doing
old
that.
Radio guy, get on the PA system.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, well, what harm could it be? Like you say, oh, it's all Delta. Maybe I can get some information.
You can. It went viral, and it's, you know, he's kind of like, attention Delta employees. If there's anyone within the sound of my voice here at 29C or whatever, wherever right. he was. So I thought to myself, therein lies the frustrations of how many thousands of us
yeah.
who sit there and stare at the board or the flight attendants at the gate or the gate attendants and hoping for some word or something like that.
Yep.
And of course, you know, they don't always have words to share, but when they do, they should share them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, or if the pilot is sitting there waiting, once in a blue moon, the pilot will get up and say, hey folks, you know, really sorry, as you can see, the weather sucks outside and there's nothing we can do right now. There's a ground stop or they've slowed things really down. It's probably going to be an hour or so before we get out of here. And at least you feel like, well, hey, thanks for telling us what's going on. I'll go pee and get a hamburger.
Right. You know, sometimes just to tell you that they don't have any information to tell you.
Exactly.
Is enough. You're watching and they're helping with someone and you're sure that the moment that person walks away, they're going to get on the mic and you're going to get an update. But even, like I say, even if the update is no update,
you make an extremely valid point. Even if the update is no update, if it's been 30 minutes since you gave an update, 200 of us or 150 of us or whatever, all sitting there waiting. So just come on and say, gosh, folks, we haven't heard anything back yet. But as soon as we do have an update, we will let you know. And here's, you know, I mean, it takes 30 minutes to board the airplane and et cetera, et cetera. And we're not going anywhere for the next hour or so or right. something like that. I get it. They want everybody to be there. So when it's time to go, they can get on the plane and go. That's why they don't let people off the plane sometimes, is because, you know, when it's time to go, we want to go. But sometimes that really backfires on you. And listen, folks, I don't know about you, but I'd way rather be stuck in a terminal than on an aircraft. That's just my thing. Hey, this is your annual, the headline says, this is your annual summer reminder to take the first flight of the day. And I saw that, and we talk about this frequently here. Big reminder, thunderstorms now have come into play. June is the worst thunderstorm month of the year. And I got delayed in Chicago coming home from Amsterdam a couple weeks ago. It was only an hour, so it wasn't a big deal. But this is happening all over the place. Thunderstorms happen later in the day in general. So if you're taking an early flight, nobody likes to get up and take the 5 o'clock to Salt Lake City or Denver or Atlanta. But you know what? The early flight gets you to your connection point earlier in the day. So if you are connecting, the chances of you getting a delay go down really dramatically. Denver used to be a really safe airport to connect in later in the day, but that's gone south now. Denver has a lot more traffic, and so it doesn't take as much to upset the system. And the weather, thunderstorms in the Denver airport area have become more common for whatever reason. And so that's an issue. So I can't emphasize to you enough. Also, occasionally, those really, really, really early in the morning flights, especially east coming west, nobody wants to get out of bed at 2 o'clock. So the airline says, all right, so here's 50 or 75 or 100 bucks less for this flight. So if you're a budget conscious person, and you're traveling, you know, the whole family's going or something, taking an earlier flight. Listen, is it really going to matter whether you have to drag the kids out of bed at 3 o'clock or at 5 o'clock? They're not going to be any less or any more grumpy or whatever. So that's something to think about when you're doing your homework and shopping for airfares, is it sometimes that early flight. But boy, taking as early a flight as you can. I'm a tour operator. And I don't know, my travelers have noticed this, but more and more, instead of waiting to come home on a 5 o'clock flight from our destination, which gives us part of a day there, we are more and more opting for the 1 or 2 o'clock flights, which means we don't get to do much the last day, but our chances of getting home on time are a lot greater.
That's pretty important. I'm one of those folks that isn't really big on your early flights, but I have noticed, and on most occasions, if you're looking for the least expensive flights, that's where they're going to be.
Yeah, sometimes because nobody, they look at 5 o'clock, they want you there 2 hours early, let's call it an hour and a half, that's 3:30. If you live 30 minutes from the airport, that's 3 o'clock. Takes you an hour to shower and shave and get everything in the car, that's 2 o'clock. Hell, you might as well have taken a red eye, except then when you get to the other side, your hotel room isn't going to be ready for several hours, so think about that. All right, let's see here. The Iran thing is settled temporarily. And I just saw a headline this morning that where the Iran said that they'd stopped letting ships through the strait, and the U.S. said, no, that wasn't true. So I'm not there, so I have absolutely no idea what's happening. But I will tell you that you've noticed probably that fuel has started to come down. Domestic coach tickets booked between 3 and 5 weeks in advance over the past week were about 12% cheaper than they were a month ago. This is according to the Points Guy analysis. You want to travel internationally, could fly in August. Those flights on an average are about 6% less than they were in mid-May. Domestic fares as of Tuesday were about 2% cheaper than they were a month ago. So are fares coming down? Yes. Are they coming down as much as they went up? No. Does that surprise anybody? No. We'll keep you posted as things go on here. Speaking of fares and prices and times to buy, best days to buy gasoline, according to these folks here, let's see, who are these folks? Gas Buddy says you should avoid filling your tank on Thursday because prices tend to go up before the weekend. And henceforth, prices tend to be lower first part of the week, so he says Sunday is the best time to fill up. So I'm going to do my own survey. I pass about 5 stations on my way home, and I'll do my own Rancho Cordova survey and see what I come up with. He says Thursday is the best day to buy. As the worst day to buy, Sunday is the best day to buy.
Okay. There you go.
All right, what are people paying at World Cup? Oh, this is even worse than we thought. $15 to $22 for beer. Can you imagine $22? That's $132 a six-pack. Soft drinks and water are averaging between $5.25 and $7.75. Basic snacks such as hot dogs are averaging around $10. Chips around $6. In Toronto, two hot dogs and two soft drinks was priced at $57.50 Canadian, which is roughly $44 U.S. So I guess not too much worse.
Yeah, you know, I think that beer price was the one that shocked me the most. $22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's my wisdom. I used to go to Warrior games when we were in high school because we couldn't drink. So it was an hour and a half drive each way. We ate before we left. We dashed out of the arena and ate at McDonald's in Vacaville on the way home. So we never, neither one of us were drinkers. So, of course, we were in high school, so it wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, we never bought us. I can't remember any time that any of us, either one of us, ever bought a soft drink or a hot dog or anything. We could go to McDonald's, and for two people, you know, what two hot dogs and two Cokes would have cost us in the arena, we spend less money. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's just my own personal strategy. Don't eat and drink at the park.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fine if you're just going, you and your buddy, and you're in high school. Dare try that with, I don't know, a couple of preteens,
yeah,
and a wife.
Oh yeah, that's
going to the game, and you're going to tell them we're going to eat at McDonald's before we get to the game, and you don't get anything after.
And they know that. And yeah, good luck with that. Well, yes, that was just two guys going to the ballpark, not a family. All right, we're running long here. Two quick things. Carriage horse died in Central Park last week. This happens every few years. For those of you who don't know, they do carriage tours through Central Park with actual horses on actual asphalt. And I'm not here to tell you whether this is good, bad, or otherwise, but a horse passed away last week, and that has renewed the discussion, which comes up every once in a while, every time they lose a horse, of whether or not this is the right thing to do. Couldn't there be like electric carriages or something to give people tours of Central Park?
No.
Nah. Well, yeah. But the horse thing, I'm sensitive to that too. It seems kind of weird to be doing horse tours in the middle of New York City. All right, and finally, drop two for the Olympic ticket sale is set for mid-August. We have a link online at travelguysradio.com, or you can find one, I'm sure. You need to register. You've got about another week to be able to register, and then in early August, they're going to pull some names and give people an opportunity. You can buy up to 12 total tickets for Olympic events and up to 12 additional soccer tickets. That would be what the rest of the world calls football, which is what's going on in our country right now. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. More to come in our Smarter Traveler segment, pointing out why it's important to book directly with the hotels and airlines, etc. We'll tell you why when we return right here with the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Our lead in music is Relative to a little story about Chicago.
Yeah, this last week, you know, that song is correct. The south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town, has been for quite a long time. Happens to be where President Obama was a community organizer before he got heavily involved in politics, and it is where his library and museum is, which of course dominated the news last week as it opened up. And I don't spend a lot of time on it, but I wanted to call attention to the fact that if you're going to Chicago sometime soon and you thought, oh, hey, I want to go out and see that, you're not going before November. All the tickets are gone until November. You can go, but you've got to have an advance ticket. And at least for a while, this is going to be one of the hottest tickets in town. I'm going to talk in the Sports Leisure Minute a little bit how our Sports Leisure travelers can go there with us. But if you're going on your own and you're thinking about the Obama Library, just know that you have to have a ticket and that the tickets are pretty much sold out for the next number of months. So if you're thinking about going, you will need to plan in advance, at least for now.
Well, all right. Yeah, there you go. I saw it on TV. You may have as well. And that's a popular outing to wait all the way to November to get tickets.
It's going to change the face of the south side of Chicago in a very positive way.
Well, all right.
So presidential libraries and stuff. You know, the funny thing was I was talking to my office staff about it, and this is the honest to God truth. I've gone through my entire life, and I did not until the other day know what political party John Kennedy belonged to. I only recognized him as just a president, as a historical guy who did some pretty cool things. And his book, Profiles in Courage, is like one of the best books you could ever read. And it never dawned. It wasn't important to me what political party, you know. Now you've got Obama and Biden and Trump, and, you know, I can't imagine that anybody will ever forget which political party those people were from. But remember that there are young people out there who, like I was a youngster when John Kennedy was president, who don't have political leanings and are just evaluating things and remembering things on the way they are. So anyway, I'm going to get into that. We're going to lose all of our time.
You did finally find out, right?
Yes, I did, that he was a Democrat. And yeah, of course, that made, as soon as somebody said that, I was like, oh, okay, well, duh. Yeah, that makes kind of sense. But I confess that I really had never, that it never had any importance to me, or I'd never been in a discussion where it was part of the issue. All right, let's talk here about Smarter Traveler segment. We wanted to give you a reminder about how you book hotels. There are lots and lots of websites online. There's Kayak and Trivago. There's, you know, sites that compare other websites and send you a warning or a notice when your hotel has gotten cheaper. Or there are just all kinds of ways. You can go to booking.com or Travelocity. If you buy your hotel as a part of a package, sometimes you're getting a discount. But I'm here to tell you, if you're buying your hotel just separately, it's not a package deal or anything like that, because sometimes package deals can get you better pricing on the individual components when you buy them all together in one place. But if I'm here to tell you that when it comes to hotels, if you possibly can, book directly with the hotel. Now, that doesn't mean pick up the telephone and call the front desk and tell them what you want to do, but it means go online. If you're booking a Hilton hotel, go online to Hilton.com and book it through Hilton, because a whole lot of positive things happen that way. Especially if you take a moment, if you're not a member of Hilton Honors, it would be in this case, it takes a minute. Become a member. You can always say, hey, I don't want any of your stuff, and I don't want to be on any of your lists, and don't share my information, all that. But what happens is you get to the hotel. Let's say it's a 400-room hotel in Chicago, and the hotel's overbooked a little bit, and everybody shows up, and they need 404 rooms. It's getting late in the evening. Guess who's not going to get the rooms? The people who are not members of Hilton Honors.
Yeah, the non-members left behind.
Exactly. So just that one little thing might save your butt someday. And the other thing is that if you ever have an issue, and this comes up because of an article that Chris Elliott did last week, they were helping a guy who needed a refund from a hotel, and he had booked through a third party booking site, and they told him, okay, we'll get the money back from the hotel. Never happened. He contacted the hotel directly. They said, well, sure, of course you're entitled to a refund. We'll send it right away to this booking site. And in the meantime, he had filed a claim with his credit card company. So the third-party booking site said, well, sir, we'll forward your money to you as soon as you drop this claim against us. And he said, well, okay, that seems logical. You've got the money, and you're going to send it to me. He dropped the claim. Guess what didn't happen?
He didn't get the money.
He didn't get the money.
They sent the refund to the booking company, right?
They did. They did. The hotel confirmed that they sent it to the booking company, but the booking company never sent it to him.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is not an unusual occurrence, and sometimes it's not because the booking company are crooks. It's because you're now working with two systems. So one system has to respond to system two, and then system two has to respond to you. And all that takes a lot of time. So, and sometimes a lot of effort on your part. So really and truly, it's best to cut down on the number of people that are involved with your booking. If it's just a hotel or just an airline ticket, then book it directly with the airline or directly with the hotel if you possibly can. And some hotels, if you found something cheaper online and you can take a picture of it and you show it to the hotel and say, look, you want $169, I can see it online for $155. A lot of times the hotel, if you can document it, will honor that lower price. So just be careful about saving a few bucks online and finding out later that, ooh, that was a huge mistake.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. More to come right after a short timeout. Stick around. Thanks for coming along.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
If you were watching on TV last week, you saw that the Obama Museum and Library in Chicago was a big story. And I'm sure there are lots of people who are watching who said, gosh, I'd like to go there someday. And Sports Leisure Vacations is in the process of planning some departures. We have already taken interest lists, which is already up over 100 people. So we will be planning several trips, the first of which will be an off-season wintertime trip that will include theater in Chicago. That'll be in February. And then we'll have some warmer weather trips next year. You heard me mention before that tickets for the museum are already sold out through November. So if you're going on your own, make sure that you make plans ahead of time. If you're working with a tour operator like Sports Leisure Vacations, we'll make those plans for you. If you're interested in visiting the Obama Library on a short tour to Chicago that would include other features in Chicago, give us a call at 916-361-2051 or go to sportsleisure.com. You can fill out a request there and send it to us, and we'll place you on the interest list.
Well, okay, here we are, back half of the Travel Guys, live and direct on the radio, which doesn't happen a lot on the weekends anymore. Mark, you know, one of the things that we talked about some months ago was just the pronunciation of this hotel.
People
chain.
Have been teasing me about this ever since we talked about
it. Well, we're all familiar with Marriott. Marriott this, Marriott that. And we read that it's actually Marriott.
Yeah, because it's a family name.
Marriott. So anyway.
Not Marriott. Marriott.
We'll probably get it right and wrong several times just in this particular conversation. So what's going on with the Marriott Bonvoy rewards points? Formerly, for those of you that were maybe part of the Sheraton chain, mm-hmm. they got sucked into that. That's what I was for the longest time. In fact, Mark, right here on his desk, he's got a little, I don't know what it is. It says, 4 points by Sheraton. I remember that. I've stayed there.
Yep.
So what's up with Marriott?
Well, the hotel owners are up in arms. And the reason this is important to travelers and travelers who are not necessarily Marriott guests, but of any major hotel chain, because if this becomes an issue one place, you can bet it will spread all over. Here's what happens. You stay in a hotel and you use points. The the parent hotel chain, Marriott in this example, will reimburse the hotel on a sliding scale based on whether or not the hotel was sold out or not. If the hotel was sold out, they will get a reimbursement that is somewhat close to what it costs to process, clean, and get that room ready for the next guest. So it won't be a lot. If the hotel is sold out, then they will get an amount that is much greater than that, that is very close to what their average daily rate was for that evening. Now, this is my understanding, having made a couple of phone calls to Marriott people that I know who are part of hotels who would have those answers. So they say there is a big difference between where how the hotel is compensated for these reward stays. It is not uncommon for a hotel to have 20% of its guests on one night be on points. Is not uncommon. I never thought the number was that high.
I wouldn't have either.
But they're printing all of this fake money and giving all these people these credit card bonuses. And three times when you buy, you know, kumquats at the grocery store, you get three times points and, you know, a pat on the back and a kick in the fanny or whatever, just because you bought kumquats at the grocery store. So earning points has become very easy. There are a lot of points. That means the value of rewards. There's a lot more rewards. And if the hotel doesn't want to be filled with all people who are not paying to get in, then at some point they will limit those rewards, or they will go back to the parent company and say, hey, we got to have more money for these rooms. If they get more money for the rooms, the number of points it takes to get those rooms is going to go up.
Yeah, going up.
Yeah.
For sure.
If the costs to the hotel, Marriott has turned this into a huge profit center, And it's kind of like the airlines. You know, we talk about buy a seat assignment, check a bag, use their credit card. That's how they're making money. You fly on the airplane has very little to do with the profits that the airline make anymore. So the same thing has happened in the hotel business. If the profit is not you staying in the room, and because the room belongs to the franchisee and the hotel chain is running the bonus program, it's a little different from the airlines. They've got to pay these guys off. And these people on the bottom at the courtyards and stuff around the world, the residence inns, are saying, hey, $35 a night is not a fair compensation. We want more. And if they get more, then the value of those points has to go down. I mean, it's just mathematics. And if it happens at Marriott, then you can listen. Many of these franchise people, they're not just a Marriott hotel. They may have a Courtyard and a Hilton Garden Inn and a Country Inn and Suites were all built at the same off-ramp. And they're all three different companies, but they're all owned by the same franchisee, runs all three hotels, and deals with all three different brands. So don't think that if one brand does something that's very favorable and caves a little bit to the people who run the hotels, that the other chains are not going to follow them very quickly. And that's why I call this to our listeners' attention, is because it could very well impact the value of hotel points. We've talked for a long time about how these people print their own currency, and they decide what the currency is worth. So don't accumulate a huge pile of it, because your pile, you might wake up one morning and your pile's only worth 70% of what it was when you went to bed.
Yeah, there you go. Use them before you lose them, or certainly before they become devaluated. It's like a lot of things in life. It's probably worth more right now than it ever will be in the future.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you walk into the hotel and you wonder why you're getting a, you know, kind of a, respond when they see that you're a rewards guest. They don't jump up and down and say, oh, thank you for spending your Marriott rewards with our hotel. It's because the hotel isn't making squat off of you being there. So they really don't care if you're there or not. And to me, in the hospitality industry, that's a really dangerous situation.
But at the same time, as we were talking earlier, if there are only X number of rooms available and you are a member of their rewards program,
right,
then that might move your status up a little bit in regards to getting some of the last rooms, right?
Not necessarily. In many cases, hotel franchisees will say, you know what, there's a convention in town and we know there's going to be a run on rooms, so we're just not going to allow award redemptions during these dates. Or the other thing that happens is, and this happens often, somebody's got a convention, and in order to block with the hotel, part of the agreement is that the hotel will black out the award dates. So if you want the hotel that's right next to the convention center, and you're thinking, oh, I'll just use my Hilton Honors points, and because those dates are not available because the people who are running the convention want you to book into their block, so they've blocked out, and now you've got to walk 3 or 4 or 5 blocks. That's not uncommon at all.
Wow. Okay.
So the usage of these points and their value is very subjective, and subject to the whims of the parent hotel chain, and also whether or not they can get the franchisees to go along with it. And because the hotel chain, Marriott only owns like 30 hotels, and most of them are Marriott Marquis or one-off hotels. They don't own very many. They operate another percentage, but the vast majority of all these hotels are owned by franchisees who are trying to make a buck. And anytime they can cut service, or, you know, if they only need 6 people to man the front desk all week instead of 5 or instead of 7, why then they can cut their costs, why then that's what they're going to do. And many times that cut comes at the expense of customer service.
The Marriott Bonvoy, their brand, their number of properties that are under that Bonvoy, mm-hmm, is massive.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
You know what the online thing is? It's if something goes wrong at Marriott and you've gotten screwed. Now the term online is you've been Bonvoyed.
Yeah. That started a few years ago, so people have been getting Bonvoyed for quite some time. Well, okay, let's see, where are we? Are we running out of time? Time to move on?
Yep.
Okay. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Our final segment is straight ahead. Yeah, keep it here as we talk about the visitors from the World Cup and how are they going to feel about this tipping thing when they come from a country where there is no tipping. That's next here on the Travel Guys. We're the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, every Saturday, 11 to 12. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. If you missed any of our shows, you want to hear one a second time, you can find podcasts at TravelGuysRadio.com and, of course, at Sactown Sports 1140. I got to ask you, Anthony, do you think there is more flopping in soccer than there is in basketball?
Yeah, that's definitely where it came from.
Oh, really?
Okay. Really?
Yeah, 100%. Like Vlade Divac, we were in Sacramento, he came from Europe.
Oh, he was the all-time greatest flopper in history.
Yeah, it all came. It's a soccer thing.
Vlade, flopping was an art. I mean, when people came charging in the lane, for the people who don't know, Vlade Divac was a center for the Kings many years ago, much beloved ball player in Sacramento. And he, am I not right, Anthony? I mean, flopping down to a science.
Perfect, yeah. You can watch highlights online. There's a compilation, Vlade Divac flopping.
And in many cases, the player doesn't even touch him.
Yeah.
Vlade would, all of his arms and legs would come off and go in different directions, and he would let out a blood-curdling yell. And he would get offensive fouls over and over and over, and it would drive the other team crazy, but God, he was good at it.
Yep. Came from Europe, came from soccer. It's they're all connected.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah, if you want to see flopping, enjoy it in the World Cup, because you're going to see it on almost every play at one point or another. Okay, let's see. Speaking of the World Cup, and we alluded to this, folks coming from other countries. Mm-hmm. Not too long ago on one of our shows, we talked about how that tipping in, I can't recall the country we were
talking. We were in, I was talking about Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
Oh, Amsterdam, yeah, where it's almost you'll be double tipping because the tip is already included in the price of the beverage, food, whatever you're eating.
Leave a couple euros or something. I left 4 euros and had to get change from a server to leave 4 euros in a restaurant, and on a bill it was like $45. So that would be like what, 9%? She was ecstatic. I mean, she was like, "Oh, you would leave a gratuity of 4 euros? I said, "Yeah, the service was really good." She says, "Well, you know, that's kind of built into the price." I said, "Yeah, I understand that. But in this case, it was worthy of a little bit more." And so, point being, in Europe, they think because of the fact that the restaurant people are paid more in most cases. So although when it comes to American guests, they know what's going on. They know we're used to 15-20%. So that can get a little sticky sometimes. But now those people come over here, and our servers are looking for 15-20%. So what's happening, according in many cases, is that in many World Cup cities, restaurants are just charging automatic 20% gratuities, which to me is, I mean, I'm like so against that, I can't even start to tell you. But if it's an automatic 20% gratuity, then it isn't a gratuity at all. It's part of the price of eating in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So if the meal is $40, and the gratuity is automatically 20%, the meal isn't $40, it's $48. And that's the way it should be advertised. And then I would absolutely, it should be pointed out that an ample, generous gratuity has already been included. It's not necessary to leave anything else. And that would help the Europeans and people from other parts of the planet. It's already built in there. But to try to explain to them that, well, here's the price, and you're in a big city in the United States, so the prices are already ridiculous, and now you're expected to put 15 or 20% on top of this because this is our custom and the way we do it. So many of the restaurants in World Cup cities have just started charging the 20% gratuity, which is working for some of the international visitors, but the U.S. visitors are confused as hell. And what's happening is some people are tipping anyway. So now this restaurant, the server, whomever is getting tipped twice. So who loses there?
Yeah. 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 Well, you know, here again, got to keep in mind these World Cup games are not attended by nothing but people from Europe. So, like I say, if you're in one of the World Cup cities, I don't know what's our travel tip here. If they're charging you, if you are there, mm-hmm. Look at the bill. If it looks like the 20% has already been added, then don't feel compelled to add an extra 20.
Be a smarter traveler. I mean, really and truly, if a restaurant is charging you 20, listen, I'm a tour operator. I take groups of people places. In most cases, the contract is negotiated with a gratuity. And it's kind of conceded that, you know, you're going to pay this amount of gratuity, 15, 18, increasingly it's 18 or 20%. I won't agreed anything over 20 up front, although now we're starting to see contracts with 22 or 23 in them. And we just tell them, hey, 20% is the limit. If you want our business, that's what you're getting. But my tour directors are also told that, hey, if you go out to a restaurant and it's a complete disaster, then don't give them the full gratuity. Give them part of it. Or, you know, at least get an apology or a free dessert for everybody or something for the fact that it took 2.5 hours for everybody to get served. So as it's from a tour operator standpoint, our situation is a little different from individual travelers who are going into a restaurant and being presented with a bill. And I don't want us to get trashed all over the planet for something like this, because we get trashed right now for a lot of other things that are politically motivated. And the whole tipping thing is completely out of control in our country. And now the rest of the world is going to come here. And I don't want them to go home and the first thing that they write in their newspaper or on their blog or something is about how they got screwed in the United States. because that doesn't really help anybody here. You know, people who come here from foreign countries, especially for the World Cup, and spend money, they're spending a lot of money. And that some of that money is going to the World Cup people, but a lot of it, you know, is staying here in our communities and the like.
There certainly has been some big stories in regards to people who purchase tickets from brokers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, StubHub or whoever. In fact, I think that's who it was. They bought the tickets and they were secondhand. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that bought the tickets allowed them to be sold resold through StubHub on the secondary market. And so the people bought the tickets, and then shortly before the event, they said, "Sorry, they've pulled the ticket back. We don't have your tickets after all." The people that wanted to sell them changed their mind. And that's because they found out that they could get 4 or 5 times that amount
mm-hmm.
than they originally were going to ask for. So they pulled them back. The family that was going to go were not being compensated. They were not going and finding them tickets to take their place. So it's a real mess, and I don't know how it turned out.
The Olympic people for 28 are going to run their own resale ticket site, and you will only be able to resell tickets through their site. So
that's smart, and that's the safe and best way to go. So
yeah, it's also a way to capture a whole lot more money that you're not capturing otherwise, because those resale tickets are being sold for more money. So if you're taking a bite of each resale, why then you already sold the tickets once. Now you're getting a bite out of the resale. It's not only what you said, Tom, it's also smart. All right, real quickly here. United Airlines has changed. This is a really good feature. We talk about things on this program. A lot of times it's, you know, things that are working against the traveler. Here's something that's working in your favor. If you're a United flyer, you can now pool your mileage with other United flyers in order to get the number of miles that you need. So if you needed 50,000 miles for a ticket and you had 30 and grandma had 25, why, she can pool her tickets, her miles into yours, and you have enough miles to be able to get that ticket that you want. So
good.
Yeah. It's on the surface, it's a really, really good idea. Ben Schlopik at 1 Mile at a Time pointed it out. It is some different airlines have some different rules that allow some sharing under certain circumstances, but the United thing is really fairly wide open. So if you are a United flyer and you are looking to help somebody get someplace, you know, somebody needs to get, grandma's sick, or, you know, they got to get to a graduation or something like that, some important meeting, you can now pool your miles in order to be able to help get there. Everybody has to be a Mileage Plus member, but you wouldn't have miles if you didn't. So go to the United website or give them a call, and they can explain to you easier than I can in a short time we have here on the radio about how this works. But it can be even more than two people. Could be a whole bunch of people contributing 1,000 miles apiece or whatever. So congratulations. Kudos to United Airlines for coming up with a way. Some people, you know, they have a few thousand miles left over and they're getting older. They don't travel anymore. Here's a way to maybe make those miles count for somebody.
Well, you know, for whatever the reason, I just kind of thought that was something that was a given, that you could share miles within the family or whatever. But apparently not so. Any other airlines that you know of doing anything like this?
I knew you were going to say that, and I didn't look it up. Okay. American used to have a program where two people could put miles together
mm-hmm.
and be able to create a ticket. I don't know if they still have that or not. But with United, apparently, according to this article here, it can be any number of people. You have to go online and set it up, so that when these people contribute their miles, you're going to have their number and stuff. So it's going to it'll take a little bit of homework. But if you really need an airline ticket, and listen, these airline tickets have gotten so ridiculously expensive that if you've got miles sitting around that are not being used and you can put them to use, it's like a credit card bonus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it really is. It's an easier it's a much better way to utilize. We've all got frequent flyer and frequent guest things that we've had over the years where, you know, I may have 227 points at Bed Bath and Beyond, you know, and they're just going to sit there forever. And if I knew at Christmas time that I could combine those with somebody else in my office and we could buy somebody a Christmas gift, But usually the people who run these programs, they don't want that to happen. They would rather those miles die or points or credits die on the vine, because it's a tax liability to them as long as they're sitting there until, and that's why they like to have them expire, because now they can write them off and they know that a certain percentage of them will never be used. All of this is a science which impacts our lives more and more every day, because more and more of us are hooked into these rewards programs and the like that cause us to go back and do business with somebody. There's not anything wrong with that, but just remember, you know, it is the Bank of McDonald's that runs the McDonald's rewards program. You don't get to you can they deposit into it and they let you withdraw from it, but you can't go up one day and say, "Hey, I want all my points. Here's all my points. I want $20." Doesn't work that way.
Well, all right. Yeah. In fact, sometimes it's almost it takes more time to explain, are you a rewards member? What's your rewards number? Let's look you up, than it does to make the purchase.
Yes, and the McDonald's drive-thru saying, are you on the app today? Yeah. No, just take my order. I just want to get out of here. I don't want to belong to your rewards program. I have no idea who you share my information with, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, next week, here on the Travel Guys, we're going to get together with the airport folks to give you an update on how the progress is coming on the parking garage out there. I can see the walkway out to Terminal B is almost completed. That means that the walkway between A and B is probably almost completed. When that parking garage opens up, it's going to change the whole dynamic out there in terms of where people who park, where they park now and are flying Southwest or Alaska, where they, or Hawaiian, where they might park later. So we'll have an update on that for you next week. We'll be here at 11 o'clock on Saturday, as we always are. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. We are the Travel Guys. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com.